A reading from the book of Sirach. Behold him whose time in the house of God was renovated, in whose days the temple was reinforced. In his time, the reservoir was dug, the pool with a vastness like the seas. He protected his people against brigands and strengthened his city against the enemy. Like a star shining among the clouds, like the full moon at the holy day season, like the sun shining upon the temple, like the rainbow appearing in the cloudy sky. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Galatians. Brothers, may I never boast of anything but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through it, the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. It means nothing whether one is circumcised or not. All that matters is that one is created anew. Peace and mercy on all who follow this rule of life and on the Israel of God. Henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear the brand marks of Jesus in my body. Brothers, may the favor of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
On one occasion, Jesus spoke thus, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, to you I offer praise. For what you have hidden from the learned and the clever, you have revealed to the merest children. Father, it is true, you have graciously willed it so. Everything has been given over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son but the Father, and no one knows the Father but the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon your shoulders and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Your souls will find rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Verbum Domini. We have a first-class relic here of St. Francis, and at the end of the homily, I'll bless everyone with the relic. His gospel is so powerful. You know, come to me, all who labor and are heavenly laden, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this is the appeal of St. Francis, I think, that he strikes a chord and draws people from secular people, people from different faiths or philosophies. And I think, as it's been said, that people are drawn to the freedom that he shows us, the joy, the universal brotherhood, harmony with the whole of creation. We all want that in our nature. Freedom, joy, peace with one another. You know, to love this beautiful world that God has given us, to let it lead us to God himself. And that's what the saints do. They come to Jesus. They come to him. And we receive these gifts. And St. Francis personified this union with Christ in such an extraordinary way. As we're going to talk about, he defined his rule of life. He opened the Bible. He opened the Bible and did what it said and lived a life that conformed him to Christ. This passage from Matthew's gospel says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to infants. We must be humble. And he, of course, was a model of humility. He conformed himself to Christ, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to salvation. So he sought to imitate him. He directly embraced the gospel, and embracing Christ, the truth of ourselves is revealed. Francis would often say, what a person is before God, that he is, and nothing more. Not to take worldly standards, that we got to have wealth or power, authority, or great gifts. We get our identity from God. Our culture today pushes aberrant sexual behavior and then claims an identity therein. Our identity comes from Christ. And Francis is showing that Jesus is that identity, and we need to have the humility to surrender, to submit to him. He would reference water as being humble and chaste and pure, you know, that it seeks the lowest place. That water is a model of humility, you know, it's just a basic drink to sustain us. and you pour it on the ground, it goes to the lowest place. And he made himself lowly. He associated with the lowly. He associated with the poor. He went to serve the poor in whatever form he found it. Yes, Father, such was your gracious will, this revelation to the lowly. And Francis modeled that. He would seek God's will. In forming the order, he turned to the Bible. He wanted to know God's will. God would speak to him from the San Damiano cross and telling him what he was to do. At the heart of it, though, it's a focus on Christ and being conformed to him, to have union with him. And that was a newness and a freshness that the world needed and always needs. We see he lived in a time of a rising merchant class. His father sold cloth, and he wanted to be a knight, to have like a worldly glory. It didn't work out so well. He was captured and fell ill, and he had a dream. And the Lord told him, said, which is better, to serve the master or the servant? Who can do more for you? You know, if we lose our life, we will receive and share in his life. That grain of wheat must fall to the ground. If it doesn't, it remains just a grain of wheat. If it falls to the ground and dies, it produces abundant harvest. So that's what he set off to do. Again, simply obeying the scripture, the time is fulfilled. What Jesus tells us in Mark's gospel, his first words, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent. And he began doing penance. And later, when he would preach, this was his common theme, to do penance. He would found three orders, the order of the friars and the nuns, and then the third order for the laity. He wanted all. If we're Christian, we're all called to be conformed to Christ. He commands us in the gospel to repent of our sins, to turn from our sins and turn back to God, to believe, to have faith. And he would say, the Lord gave me to do penance, and he led him to the lepers. And that, when he was in the world, he would say, was most bitter to him. He went, being led by the Lord, showed them mercy, and he said it turned into sweetness of soul and body. He says, afterwards, I delayed a little and then left the world. Remember, he strips himself of his clothes in the town square and embraces God as his father, totally given over to him. St. Francis would lead a great reform in the church by way of holiness. Those the true reformers in the church are the saints. They show us the way, they show us the light. And this doesn't denigrate hierarchy or teachings of the church in any way, but the heart of it is this grasping hold of Jesus, that all the teachings and the hierarchy and the shepherds that the Lord has given us, we are to follow. It's to guide us in that way of union with Christ. St. Francis would be praying before the San Damiano cross, which an image we have in our chapel here. It's this cross at the Church of San Damiano. And he heard the instruction, the command, Francis, go and rebuild my church, which you see is falling into ruins. And he took it literally. He went and started to rebuild, gathered stones, and started to rebuild churches. And he says, after the Lord gave me some brothers, no one showed me what I had to do, but the Most High himself revealed to me that I should live according to the pattern of the Holy Gospel. And I had this written down simply in a few words, and the Pope confirmed it for me. He's speaking of Pope Innocent III. He wrote down his rule of life and submitted it to the church authority. And before he made it to Rome, Pope Innocent had a dream, that he saw, the popes lived at the time, St. John Lateran, he saw it crumbling. And this little man, poorly clad, went and put his shoulder underneath the crumbling roof line there and held it up, buttressed it. If you go to Rome today, you can see outside of St. John Lateran these huge statue of Francis and a little band of friars, you know, like a few hundred yards from St. John Lateran, you know, they're going and looking at the church. It's an image of them coming to get that rule approved, but also ultimately to confirm this dream that Leo, or Innocent III, had, that he's going to lead this path of holiness, this renewal for the church. In writing his rule, Pope Francis would go to the church of St. Nicholas and open the missal, which had the scriptures in it. And he would turn to three passages. And I believe the first passage, and I'm not sure the order, but of Mark 10:21, with the story of the rich young man. And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." And Francis was to embrace poverty and simplicity of life. And this was a new thing. I mean, the religious were gathering in, you know, the Benedictines in big monasteries, cities would come up around them and form. And Francis wanted to literally, you know, embrace the gospel. And then Luke 9:3, and he said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust of your feet as a testimony against them." And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Mission, proclamation, evangelization. St. Francis and the Franciscans that followed him throughout the centuries were always great missionaries. And they would stay close to the people. They were sent into the world to proclaim the gospel. And this is an emphasis that we have today. We see that clearly expressed in Vatican II, that we are sent into the world. Francis formed three orders, right? A lay order, a third order, that we are sent into the world to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim in a way that the modern world can understand and hear it. And I think that mission work, too, is associated with penance, because it takes a dying to oneself, to go to the other, you know, to be humble, to die and to listen to them, to try to share our faith with them. And it might be a tough nut to crack sometimes, you know, but to pray for them. We're missionary disciples, right? We're sent into the world to do this. And then finally, Matthew 16, then Jesus told his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life?" And we're called to die to ourselves. And this is the goal and heart of penance that I think he proclaimed. And today, I think our challenge oftentimes is living the gospel in a world that is ordered to the self. It's exaltation of the self. Indulge these pleasures, consumerism, hedonism, and we wind up losing our true self in that way. But if we turn to the gospel and live the teachings therein, it involves his death, but we receive his life. And that's the freedom, the peace, and the joy. At the time of Francis, in the culture, there was a move from the country to the city. There was a rising merchant class. The use of money became more widespread. the people were escaping this indentured servitude and moving to the cities. And in all that, at times the church would become identified with the higher classes. So you had these heretical groups and radical movements rising up that preached some of these themes of a simplicity of life, of poverty. And the lower clergy were closer to the people. And Francis picked up some of these themes, but the difference was not to fall into heresy. He submitted them to the authority of the church. He let the Lord guide him and gave him that balance. And the danger always for the church is to get too caught up in a worldly thinking and a worldly approach to things. So he's leading a call to holiness that orients us to Jesus. And the first or the second reading from Galatians, it captures this. He says, "But far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." That cross, he would have the stigmata of the last 2 years of his life, actually have the nails through his hands and feet, so configured to Christ, so much crucified to the world. He's left it completely to do penance, embracing our Lord. That's a model he gives us. And I was reading that it even led to this renewal in art, this humility that it birthed, had an influence on the Renaissance that embraced beauty and a greater realism, not as stylized was the art as in previous times, but had a realism to it. So these lessons that he teaches us and witnesses to us applies to our real everyday life, that we can imitate this. You know, oftentimes, just embracing the difficulties of our state in life, to stay in that present moment, to engage that, and that's plenty of opportunity there to die to ourselves, to serve the others. That's another thing he did. He would have the superiors called servants, because all authority and everything which the superior was to model was to be one of service. And the lay faithful can take that into the world, into your families, to serve one another, to serve whatever community you're in, workplace, neighborhoods, and those around you, your family. Francis modeled the gospel in such a profound way, in a simple way, that made it possible to imitate, you know, in our practical lives. So I'll bless you with the relic and his intercession. May Almighty God bless you through the intercession of St. Francis, that we may all embrace the gospel in a deeper way and enjoy its fruits. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.